want to talk to you today about the good dirt. The good dirt. One thing I learned growing up as a kid is that good dirt is really important. My grandfather, he had this garden that it was a monstrous garden. I don't know how big it was. Like, in my head, it was 67 acres. Like, it's not true at all. Like, I mean, it took up half of his backyard. But when you were the kid who had to get behind the tiller to till up his garden, it felt really big. It felt like 67 acres. And so one of the things I learned about Grandpa's garden is every spring, he didn't just walk out and throw seed on the ground. That it had gotten hard, that over the year, he realized that it needed to be worked to become good dirt again. And one of the things Grandpa loved to put on his garden that he believed in, and I grew to hate, but it was part of the process, is he believed the best fertilizer he could put on his garden was rabbit manure. I mean, I'm telling you, I know some of you are nodding your head. That's probably why I don't like rabbits anymore, is because I can remember getting with my grandpa in his old F-100 Ranger, I think is what that thing was, and getting 5-gallon buckets of rabbit manure out of these places where the rabbits were, dumping them in the back of his truck, and then taking them back to his house to put out on the garden and then have to eventually till all of that up. But what I did learn is that the condition of the soil determines how the seed grows. And somewhere along the way, the soil had to be worked for the seed to grow. And the reality is, this is a truth in our life that we've all come to understand in some way. Like, if you're going to invest money, you're not going to keep investing money in something that's losing money. I mean, if you are, then just give me your money and I'll save you the headache, because I promise I can find somewhere to not put it so you don't lose it. Like, somewhere we realize we're going to put it in the right spot that gains me money, because the conditions need to be right to gain money. That's why I'm putting it away. That if we understand a healthy marriage is gained by cultivating the right soil for it to happen, to stay hitched once we get hitched involves a date night every now and then. So let me just tell you, husband and wife, if you can't remember the last time you went out on a date, it's time to go on a date. Like, I'm just going to tell you that now. Even if you have to boil down to, because you got little ones, like, I understand what it's like. Like, put them to bed early, make a PB&J, cut the crust off for her husband, and go sit by the fire and have a glass of water and a PB&J and just spend a few moments together. Like, whatever it takes. Because if you cultivate the soil in your marriage, it will grow to be a healthy marriage. But if you don't do the right things, eventually it won't. We understand that in our marriage. We understand that in our families. We understand that in our relationships. And the reality is, it's the same in our relationship with God. That we have to cultivate the soil, because it's the condition of the soil that determines how the seed will grow. And I think that's part of what Jesus is getting at in this parable that I want us to read together. And so I admit, I've got kind of a big chunk here, and I'm going to skip ahead to the next chunk for time's sake. You can follow along and read it this week, but I want to look at Matthew 13, starting in verse 1. I want to take a moment to break down what Jesus is talking about here. He said, the same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake, and large crowds gathered around him. And so he got into a boat and he sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. And when he had told them many things in parables, all it is a story, that he's telling a story to make a point. It's probably the simplest way to explain a parable. And he said, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and he was scattering the seed. Some fell on the path, and birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, and because of the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up and the plants were scorched, they withered because they had no root. Other seeds fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, and still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop. 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. And so if you're kind of wondering, like, what's Jesus getting out there? Great, I was wondering the same thing. So we're going to skip ahead to verse 18, because Jesus tells us exactly what he's getting at. He said, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anybody hears the message about the kingdom of God and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to somebody who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to somebody who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to somebody who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. So here's what I want to do this morning. I want to break down these four different types of soil, because here's what I believe. We all fit into one of these categories. Like, there's not one of us here, there's not one of us watching online right now that don't fit into one of these four categories. Jesus is telling this story because it's more than a story. He's trying to make a point about where you and I are at in our relationship with him. So we should probably pay attention. And so we've got to get this part of it, because here's the reality that so many times I've read this and I have forgotten or overlooked this part. For whatever reason, this is what stood out to me. If the seed isn't in good soil, you can plant all the seed you want and still not end up with the results you hoped for. That's so good, I'm going to say it again. You can plant all the seed you want to, but if the soil's not good, you're still not going to end up with the results that you hoped for. And you're like, wait a minute, Pastor. I feel like you're giving us more than a lesson on farming. I am. And I think so many times we show up to church just thinking, man, I'll throw more seed out, throw more seed out, throw more seed out, and eventually something good's going to happen to me. But if it's not landing in the right soil, it doesn't matter how much seed comes out. The right crop's never going to be produced. And so I want to take a look for just a moment, because one of the things Jesus pointed out there was the dirt on the path. See, it's interesting to me that he would point out the dirt on the path. This is going to be the path for those of you like, it's kind of heavy. Like, I'm going to try my best to pick it up and not make a mess here. The dirt on the path, it's dry, it's dusty, like it's kind of hard, like you're not going to get very far into it because of what's going on. Why is it hard? Because everybody's been walking on it over and over again. They've walked and they've walked and they've packed and they've packed. And eventually the path becomes a path because it's been beat down so hard that people can walk on it. See, the thing is, there's some of us in here that are just like that, that our life has become so hard that God wants to plant some good seed in your life, but it can't get in there and penetrate and do what God wants it to do because you have allowed your life and your heart to become so hard, pushing God away. And we're like, man, I'm just going to show up and maybe one of these days something's going to stick. Or there's another option. Maybe one of these days you keep showing up and you start to let God in and do something to soften your hardened heart. And man, we end up with a hard heart for a lot of reasons. I get it. Like, somebody who was supposed to be a Christian didn't represent Jesus very well, and some people develop a hard heart because of that. If that's the case, I'm sorry. But if you're looking for a perfect Christian, like, they don't exist. And Pastor Randy says it all the time, if you find him, you better leave because you'll mess it up. Because there is no perfect Christian. I promise, if you're looking to me one of these days, I mess up. Go to one of my daughter's basketball games and you'll see, because there are a few of you here. Like, I had a bad game a couple of weeks ago and let the refs have it. Or I apologize publicly and ask for repentance. I'm sorry. But we have a hard heart because of what some people have done to us. Like, it was beyond our control. We've experienced things in life that made our heart hard. Maybe we allowed them to have that impact on us. Maybe things that have hardened our heart were our own bad decisions that we made and our own bad choices along the way. Maybe it's a little of both. But somewhere the heart of our life has become so packed down by all of the treading over and over and over and over again that the seeds that people want to try to plant, the seeds that God wants to plant, can't penetrate through your hard heart to begin to find life. And so somewhere along the way, we've got to begin to do some things, if that's you, to cultivate and break through some of that hardness. Like, we have an arena down here, and one of the things that we do with a lot of events is we have to water it and pack it down and roll it out flat so that we can go in there and do a lot of the things that we do. And it becomes really hard when it dries out. But then guess what happens when it's hard and we need to break it up again? What do we do? We soften it up. We put water on it, and then we get a drag, and then we start busting it up through the hard layer, because then it starts to become useful for what we want to do when we have events down there. And it's the same in your life. Listen, if that's you and you have a hard heart today, all I'm saying is instead of shutting me off and shutting me down right now, maybe stop for just a minute and listen to hear that maybe God is trying to speak to you and get through some of that hardness right now. Just give me a chance and listen to him. If you're watching online, you're like, I'm ready to leave. Don't leave. Because maybe God has put me here in this moment because he's got a message for you and he wants to get through all of the hard heart, all of the bad situations you faced, all of the difficult moments you've been up against, and he wants to begin to do something in your life. But I will say this much, be careful about how much when you have a hard heart, you keep pushing God away. Because it's a dangerous game to play. Because eventually people harden their heart enough towards God that God gives them exactly what they want. And you're like, no, that doesn't sound like a loving God. He loves you enough at times to give you exactly what you thought you wanted just so you can realize you didn't want it. If you don't believe me, go back and read the story of Pharaoh. People are like, oh, Pharaoh never had it fair. God hardened his heart. No, that's not how the story started. Go back and reread the story of Pharaoh if you don't believe me in Exodus. You know what it says the first several times? Pharaoh hardened his heart. Before God ever hardened Pharaoh's heart, Pharaoh hardened his heart to God. And somewhere along the way, God gave Pharaoh exactly what he wanted because he kept hardening his heart to him. You be careful how many times you say no to God when he starts knocking on the door. And you're like, whoa, God loves you just enough to give you exactly what you thought you wanted just so you can realize it's not what you wanted at all. And then he'll be right there with you when you do realize that in the end and you come back around to him too. The next part, the next soil that's there, this one is always interesting to me, is the rocky dirt. It says that the seed falling on rocky ground refers to somebody who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, right? Woo, I got saved. Come on, Jesus. But since they have no root, they only last for a short time when trouble or persecution comes. Did you notice what he said? He didn't say if. He said when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they fall away quickly. See, what's the problem with the second soil? Is it has no depth. Like, it kind of looks good on top. Like, it looks like maybe it could sustain life. Like, it definitely looks better than that dirt, right? Except the problem is there's no depth to it. That once you get past the depth, you can see, man, there's rocks everywhere. That a deep roots can't be grown. See, some of us are kind of like that soil. Like we've come to Christ. We've got excited. I've given my life to him. I've cried. I said, I'm never going to do that. I'm going to run away from sin. I'm going to give it all up. And then like a year later, you're right back where you started before you ever gave your life to Jesus. The problem is the depth of spiritual relationship that you have with Jesus. And nothing is ever done to cultivate that. See, deep soil is not the problem in the end. What do you do when you're out there tilling and you hit a rock? Well, if you're a teenager, you may keep going and leave it there. But what you should do is you should stop and get it out of the way and pick it up. I picked up a lot of rocks for Grandpa out of his garden. I lived in Missouri, man. I mean, I'm telling you, there's sandstone galore. If you ever get bored and want to try to drive a T-post somewhere, go there. You will have the workout of your lifetime, I promise you. But you pull those rocks out. Why? So the soil can get deeper. Because you can get the things that are weighing you down and keeping you from having the results that you're wanting out of the way, and you can begin to gain some depth. But it takes some intentionality to get deeper in our relationship. And so here's what I know. The lack of depth leads to a lack of life. The depth in our relationship with God will determine the life of our relationship with God. So many times we go really wide, but we're only like 6 inches deep. And the problem with something that's really wide and so shallow is eventually it dries up. That was the point that Jesus said. That at some point, like we kind of get this. If we go swimming, the kiddie pool is like how deep, right? Like 12 inches. And there's a reason it's warm, and it's not just because it's so shallow, right? Like, I don't like playing in the kiddie pool. I'm sorry. But then we go to the other side, right? We decide we're going to give up on the kiddie pool. So there's a shallow end of a pool, and there's a deep end, right? Like, when I was growing up, the city pool was that way. There was one end that was 4 foot. By the time you got to the other end, it was like 10 or 12 foot deep, and there was a low dive and a high dive, and you could do so many more fun things on the deep end than you could on the shallow end. But in order to do that, you had to quit being comfortable staying in the shallow end and start wading out into something deeper. There's life out in the deep, life that can't be experienced in the shallow, but you got to go deep to get it. And that's essentially what Jesus is saying. Like, there's life out here in the deep end with me, but you got to quit being so comfortable in the shallow side and come out to the deep with me. I know you may not be able to swim as good. I know it may be a little harder out here. I know it may be a little scarier getting up on that high dive, and you want me to do what off of that high dive? But there's so much life out here on the deep end, but at some point we have to get tired of playing in the shallow end and want to go deeper. Because you can plant all the seeds you want in the shallow, but the amount of life is always going to be limited in the shallow end. And Jesus has called us to a full and abundant life, is what he said in John in one version. And in order to get there, we got to go deeper. And so I think one of the problems for many of us that we struggle to go deeper with Jesus is because that part where he said, when problems come. Like, I think somewhere in our mind, we thought when we gave our life to Jesus, all of our problems were going to go away. Let me tell you now, they're not. In fact, they may even get a little more complicated. Anybody else with me? Like, man, when I gave my life to Jesus, I mean, it was not unicorns and rainbows all the way to heaven. Like, and so we have to recognize in this moment, though, hear me out. Bad does not mean God is mad. I think we stay in the shallow because we've never developed enough understanding of God's word to get beyond when bad things happen to us. We just automatically assume God is mad at us, and therefore I'm giving up on God if this is what he has for me. But bad is not always mad. Bad is just a part of life that we're all going to experience. You're going to experience it with Jesus, but you're also going to experience it without Jesus. I don't know about you, but I'll take the bad with Jesus. Because I've done it on my own without him, and I don't know how some of you do it. I don't know how the world does it. Like, I want Jesus to make it through this life. And so we have to begin to get some spiritual depth to grow in our relationship with Jesus. And we understand that from the pool illustration. We understand it from this illustration. But let me ask you a question and hear me out. This is why I said I think I may offend some people today. So one, don't give in to the offense. Like, please, hear me out. You want to know how you're shallow in your relationship with Jesus? I've got a couple ways that I could point out. If you never read your Bible, you're shallow in your faith in Jesus. Just hear me for a moment. And some of you are like, wait a minute, I just got saved like last week. You mean I'm supposed to memorize that thing? No. Like, breathe in and breathe out. But if you're a few years down the road and you haven't developed this regular habit of opening up your Bible and reading what God wants to say to you, you're always going to be shallow in your faith. Always. Always. If you're 10 or more years down the road and you've never engaged with God through his word, you're shallow in your faith with Jesus. And there's a remedy to that. It's this Bible that we give to you when you get saved. There's a remedy to that. It's the study Bible that we give to you when you get baptized. There's a reason we give that to you, because this thing gets the rocks out of your life that is keeping your life shallow with Jesus and introduces you to the depth of life that he wants you to have. But if you don't ever get this thing out and open it up and read it, you're always going to be shallow in your faith with Jesus. And you have to understand that shallow is spiritually dangerous, because he said they fell away. So open up the word of God. Go to One Connection right out these doors afterwards and find a class, find a Bible study, find a group of people, a life group that meets somewhere that's studying the word of God together that can help you grow in your relationship with God, because we have zero excuse not to understand God's word. Hear me out. There's enough versions of the Bible. I can pick one that's easy for you to understand. You just got to actually open it up and read it. And if you can't read, there's audio Bibles. Listen to it. I can keep giving you every answer for every reason you give me as to why you can't. Like, I gotcha. Here's another way you can tell if your relationship with Jesus is shallow. If you don't understand the Word of God except for what somebody else has told you. Again, that's a really dangerous game to play. If all your knowledge of God comes from is me or Pastor Randy or somebody on this team and you never crack open your Bible yourself, that's a dangerous game to be playing with your spiritual life. I think one of the greatest things I could ever do as a pastor is if I could get somebody to read the Bible more and believe it for themselves, that's a win. I think I would get to heaven and feel like, man, I did something good while I spent my time on earth if I could get more people to read the Bible and believe what it says. Another way you can tell how shallow your relationship with Jesus is, I know I'm not done. It's like, oh, stop, Pastor. I know I'm not. I'm sorry. If you never have a conversation with Jesus and pray, you have a shallow relationship with Jesus. If your conversation with Jesus never extends beyond Lord bless this food to the nourishment of our bodies, amen, you may have a shallow relationship with Jesus. Because he's called us to have conversation with him, to talk with him. And it doesn't have to be in King James. Like, it can just be a conversation like we're having right now with Jesus. But so many times we don't stop to talk to God and we wonder where he's at. And he's like, I'm right here. I'm just waiting for you to engage with me. I'm waiting for you to ask me something, talk to me, engage with me, hear what I want to say to you. Because the other thing we do in our relationship with God is we just kind of get this checkbox of things we want from God, and that's all we ever pray for. And if all you ever pray for is you and the stuff you want from God, and you don't ever pray for God and the stuff he wants from you or what he wants for other people, you're missing out on getting deeper in your relationship with God. You know, one of the things I love about Jesse that I don't know how many of you guys would ever know this, but periodically, Jesse will come up to me and he'll ask me, hey, is there something I can be praying with you about? And I'm just like, I want to be like that. Like, that's how you get deep in your relationship with God. And so we've got to do some of the things to cultivate some deeper soil, to get a little bit deeper with God, to grow spiritually on our own. You don't know how else you're shallow in your relationship with God, then I promise I'll leave you alone and I'll stop right here. If you think you can do this on your own without anybody else, you're shallow in your relationship with God. People are like, I don't need church. Like, I got Jesus and I got my Bible. I'm good. And I'm like, you should probably read your Bible then more and you would realize you're not good. Because there's nowhere in the Bible Jesus said, you and Jesus go do it with the Bible and forget about everybody else. It's not in there. If you find it, come talk to me. I'd love to have a conversation with you. But what he did say is to not forsake the assembling together. What he did say is to lay hands on one another and pray for each other. What he did say is to encourage one another and build each other up and lift each other up. All of those things require a community of people to do that with. And so if you're sitting there thinking, I don't need church, I don't need Jesus, I don't need one of those life groups that are meeting back there, you do if you want to go deeper in your relationship with Jesus. I can't make that decision for you. Pastor Randy, again, I said this a couple weeks ago, some wish, some will. You can wish about having a deeper relationship with Jesus or you can have one. That's your choice. I can't make you. Some people will wish they do, some people will. It all depends on what you want to do, whether you're going to wish it or will it. I gotta keep going. The next soil is the one that has the dirt and the thorns grow in it. Anybody else, like, I may be a little bit ADD, like, please forgive me. But as soon as I hear the word thorns, like, I think of Bret Michaels and Poison, and every rose has its thorn. Like, anybody else there with me? You just got a sneak peek into my mind. Like, that's how it works. I don't know how I get stuff done half the time. Like, the scripture, though, it says this. It says, the seed falling among the thorns refers to somebody who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. Did you notice the purpose of the seed was not to just grow? It was to bear fruit. He didn't say it didn't grow. He said it wasn't fruitful. And the problem is, we kind of end up with this soil right here that looks really good. Like, it's good. It's dark. It's full. It's Miracle-Gro. Like, it's got all the right stuff in it to grow good things in your life. But the same soil that can grow good things can grow bad things. The potential for growth lives right here. Whether it's good growth or bad growth all depends on what seeds you choose to plant in this soil. And here's what I think happens for the ones that grew up with the thorns is we planted some bad seed with some good seed. We've let some things. I mean, he talked about the deceitfulness of wealth and the worries of life choked out those plants and kept them from being fruitful. The problem was not that there wasn't good seed in it, is that it was also crowded with bad things that didn't need to be there too, and nobody was pulling out the weeds. Anybody have a garden before? Like, that one has to rank right up there with me. The thing I hate doing the most is pulling the weeds. My wife wants a flower bed. I want a rock bed. Because then I never have to pull weeds. And I can spray some stuff on there to kill all that stuff, and it never grows again for 3 months. See, the problem is not often that we've failed to plant good seeds. It's that we fail to pull out the bad seeds that are growing in there too. And that's what Jesus is getting at. It's often the things that we tolerate or accept that become the most spiritually damaging to us. And you know why we tolerate and accept them? Here's part of it. We don't know what this says about those things. Because if we knew what Jesus said we should have in our life and what we shouldn't have in our life, we would know which weeds to pull out of our life and which things to get rid of. Some of you are like, oh, I mean, worry, like, I'm just a worrier by nature. Like that's just part of who I am. Like, that's not a good thing. Hear me. Like, Jesus said that worrying would choke out your fruitfulness and your relationship with him. It may be part of a bad seed that is grown and producing fruit in your life, but it is not something that you want to keep producing fruit in your life. The deceitfulness of wealth. I mean, we kind of live in this world that tries to convince us that we need to buy more and more stuff, right? And most of the stuff isn't broken that we get, but they still try to convince us to buy something else that's good while it's not broken. I've got an iPhone that works perfectly fine, and yet I keep seeing these commercials about new iPhones that are faster and run off 5G, and I'm ready to get rid of this one and get a new one. Not that any of those things are bad in and of themselves, but somewhere along the way, we begin to buy into this idea that more stuff is going to fix my life when it's not more stuff that's going to do that. And so we've got to recognize that in God's word, he tells us some things that we need to pull out of our life and things that we need to keep in our life. Worry needs to go. That deceitfulness of wealth, it needs to go. I don't think that's an exhaustive list by any means. If I could throw a couple more on there, I would say busyness needs to come out of our life. And you're like, busyness? Like, really? Yeah, really. Like, if you become so busy that you become tired and impatient and angry with everybody, I don't know about you, but I never saw any of those as a fruit of the Spirit when I read through God's word. And so if you're so busy that that's the fruit coming out of your life, that's the fruit being produced, then maybe you've got too much in your life and you need to pull some things out. Some of you need to get off social media. Like, you need to hit the delete button and never get back on. And you're like, wait a minute, Pastor, like, really? Listen, if you can't get on social media without getting angry, upset, or fighting with somebody, or finding ammunition about why you should not like somebody, you need to get off social media. Because you're planting bad seeds in your life that are going to destroy and choke out your relationship with God because of those things. That's all for free. Like, you can have it. That one wasn't even in my notes, I don't think. Somewhere along the way, we need to get some stuff out of our life so we can get the right stuff in our life. That's what Jesus is getting at there, because you get to the good dirt that grows the good things. And you know what Jesus said? There's three things that was cultivated in that good dirt to create good fruit that produced a harvest. It is somebody who hears the word. It is somebody who seeks to gain understanding of that word. And then it's somebody who put it into practice. They do something with the word that they now understand and produced a harvest because of it. Some of you are good at hearing the word. Some of you are good, maybe even at understanding the word, but don't miss the last step about putting it into practice. Because there's a world out there that's dying and going to hell, and they're waiting for you and I to live out all of these things we claim to believe so that they can know the same truth that you and I have. And that's the fruitfulness that God asked for out of us. It's not that you and I would just grow strong in Jesus, but eventually you and I would grow so strong in Jesus that it would begin to pour out on the people around us, and they would come to know Jesus too. And then we would invest in those people, and they would get strong in Jesus, and it would pour out of them into the people that they're around, and this cycle would keep going and going and going. That's what we have been called to. And right through those doors, if you've not stopped, is why we do something like One Connection. It's not so we can get more numbers and have bigger life groups. It's not so we can have bigger classes and talk about how great we're doing. It's because we are serious about reaching, teaching, and discipling people. And we need to be taught and discipled. And discipled means you start putting into practice all of those things that we're teaching back there. Learning to use those things, to go back there and find a group, a Bible study, a class, to go back there and realize maybe somebody's poured so much into you that it's time to quit showing up just for yourself, but start thinking about somebody else and how I can serve and invest in them. Maybe some of you have such a great, vast knowledge of biblical things, and you've spent that time studying that you should start a life group so people who don't know as much as you do, you can pour into them and invest in them and raise them up so they can go out and do the same one day. Maybe you need to be one of those amazing people. You're such a good smiler, and you should be out in the parking lot because you need to be that friendly face that everybody engages with, and they know from the moment they pull on here, somebody loves them, and we're glad they're here. That's why we do what we do, because somewhere along the way, God has called us to not just keep planting seeds, because we can throw seeds down all day long, but if we don't put them in the right place, nothing's going to change. We're not going to end up with the harvest that we want if we don't get the soil right to begin with. And so maybe it's time to eliminate some things in our life. Maybe it's time to simplify some things. Maybe it's time to do some different things in our life. I got to go. I didn't even realize what time it was. I'll tell you this much about my life. Here's what I've learned. You can take it for what it is. And I've said this before, like, there's nothing magical about this process, if I could say this to you. It's not dumbfounding or amazing. I've grown the most in my relationship with God when I've been intentional about taking a step in His direction every day. I mean, that's it. Like, I just finally reached a place in my life where in my 20s where I thought, man, I've grown up in church my whole life and I've never read the Bible cover to cover. Like, I need to do that. Like, I need to know what it says for myself and not just wait for somebody else to tell me what it says. That I had this moment where I realized that God didn't just save me for me, but He saved me to try to help other people. And so I've done everything from drive a van to pick up kids in a neighborhood to teaching a junior high life group. If you ever want to do something challenging in your life, teach a junior high life group. I'm just saying. Every parent of a junior higher says, that's right. I have been in a parking lot shoveling snow so that somebody could get in there and come to church and be able to do it safely. I've had life groups in my home that was an inconvenience because we had to clean and do all these other things, but I knew it was exactly what God wanted us to do, even though it may have made my life a little more complicated because we've been called to invest in other people in our life. I'm telling you, I've grown and cultivated soil in my life. I'm not there. I think I still got some rocks I need to pull out. Some places that I recognize I'm still a little too shallow. I've got some weeds in my life that I recognize God is still working on me in, and I need to pull some of those things out. But guess what? I'm going to keep showing up and doing that every day. I'm going to keep opening that Bible and reading it and listening to what the Holy Spirit wants to say to me. I'm going to keep looking for opportunities to reach somebody else. I'm going to keep looking for opportunities to quit giving into what this world tells me that this life is all about me and realize that it's not. And somewhere along the way, I'm trusting that by the time I get to the end of my life, I've cultivated enough good soil that I'm not just going to grow in Jesus, but there's going to be this harvest that outlives me. And that's what I want for you. That's what we want for you. That's why we do what we do. That's why we offer One Connection and invite you to be a part. Maybe you're here and you're that person, though, that, man, you recognize, like, man, I'm the hard soil. Like, I've done everything that I can to keep pushing God away and telling Him no. And you're thinking, you don't know my story. Like, if you knew me, you would understand. You don't know what people have done to me. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know how bad I've lived. I promise you, I could introduce you to somebody here that's got a story worse than yours. It's not about the story that you've created for yourself up until this point. It's about the story that God wants to create in your life from this point going forward. And it starts by you watering your hard heart and letting Jesus begin to plant the right seeds. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, maybe you're here, maybe you're watching online. If that's you, wherever you're at, I believe God has put me here today to tell you, quit telling Him no and just for once say yes to Him. Just one time. Try me on this. Open up your life and see if Jesus doesn't begin to rewrite your story as He begins to build the right kind of soil in your life for His life to grow. Don't get hung up on yourself. Don't get hung up on who you were. Get stuck on who Jesus is and what He's done for you. So if you're here, if you're watching online, maybe you've never given your life to Jesus before, or maybe you made that decision a long time ago, but you know you've just not been living for Him like you should, and you want to make a new commitment to Jesus today. If either one of those is you, would you slip your hand up here so that we could put a Bible in your hand and pray with you? If you're watching online right now, there's going to be an option. If you want to give your life to Jesus, they're going to put a link on there as well. You can click that and fill it out. And we want to pray with you and get you connected. But anybody in here say, Pastor, I need to give my life to Jesus. I need to make a new commitment to Him. And I want to do that today. Just slip your hand up. Okay. Let's stand all across this place. So here's the next piece I want to challenge you with. How many of you guys would say, man, after listening to that message, I recognize there's some places in my life that I've been kind of shallow. Or maybe there's some places in my life that I've let some weeds into my life that I need to pull out. And there's some work that I need to do to build some better soil in my life. And I want to make that, yeah, all across this place. Can we just take a moment, keep our hands up, and let this be a moment of commitment to God today? And Lord, I thank You for every hand that was raised. I thank You for Your Holy Spirit and Your voice that's speaking to each one of us, God, where we are shallow in our faith. I pray that You would push us into the uncomfortable deep end. Don't let us become comfortable in the shallow side of life. Take us into the deep and fulfilling and satisfying life that You've called us to, God, where we've let weeds into our life that don't belong there. Help us to get those things pulled out. Don't let us get comfortable with a life that's crowded full of things that You never wanted. Give us the courage and the strength. May we be a strong and courageous people that take the steps necessary to do what's right and follow You and grow good fruit in our life because we're building a good base of good soil in our life. We got the good dirt, and that's You, Jesus, and the life that You want for us. We love you, Jesus. We ask all these things in your name. And everybody said, amen. Hey, I want to encourage you, if you haven't been to One Connection, if you want to make that intentional step right now, go right through these doors, make your way over there. We would love to get you signed up. Otherwise, our prayer team will be down here. If we can pray for you, please stop by and let somebody pray with you.